Welcome to The Upside with Callie and Jeff. I have a very embarrassing admission to make.
Okay.
You said something a couple weeks ago, and I am 38 years old, and I did not know this.
Okay.
I did not know that liquid and solid measuring cups are different.
I don't think that's that unusual.
Like,
I don't think I knew that until it was within the past.
But I measure
decade.
I bake, right? And I have always used like measuring cups for liquid stuff.
You mean
oil?
Right.
Water.
Yep.
Like whatever. So that's not right.
As I understand it, now I've never compared them, but as I understand it, a measuring cup that you would buy at Target.
Like the ones that stack on each other.
Right, that's made out of metal, and there's one that's a quarter, one that's a half, one that's a full cup. If you're fancy, you also get one that's a third cup, right? So it's a set of three or four.
That's fancy?
Yeah. Those.
Why is that fancy? Isn't that in every single one?
Mm-mm. Some are just quarter, half.
Whoa, okay.
Full, yeah. So if you got
I'm just learning all sorts of new stuff. So okay.
If you're fancy, you got the third cup as well. That is dry measure, and you're supposed to use a glass, you know,
vessel.
I think everybody has the same one. It's white with the red numbers
the
on it. Yes, Pyrex. That's what you're supposed to use for liquid measure, and they're not interchangeable. So if you need to measure three cups of flour, you don't use the glass Pyrex one. That's for three cups of milk.
How off is it, though?
No idea.
Well, and
now here's
why not? I just figured it was a different vessel because so liquid wouldn't spill out, and it was like the Pyrex people just helping you out with liquid measurements. I didn't know that you like had to use that.
Yeah, I think it's a different. I don't remember where I learned this or who told me this, but I was as shocked as you are.
You said that so casually, and in my head, I was like, "Wow, I'm really dumb."
And see, what we need to do as a society, and the reason we don't do a lot of this stuff is just because back in the 1700s, we were stubborn, right? We didn't like Great Britain. We didn't like England. We left them. We're like, everything you guys do, we're going to do the opposite. You guys drive on that side of the road, we're going to drive on the other side of the road.
Oh, we're like not on the metric system.
Yeah, so the entire world is on the very logical metric system where everything is divisible by 10. Not us.
I didn't even know that.
We've got inches, 12 inches to a foot, 3 feet to a yard, 36 inches is a yard. What? You know what I mean? It's just all, it's all willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And if you look at a recipe that originates in England or Europe, maybe all over, they do their measuring by weight. So if you're making a loaf of bread, right, it will say 240 grams of bread flour.
That makes sense to me.
And you just get a kitchen scale. And I've started doing that because it's more precise. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry. I always worry. I mean, this is a dumb thing to worry about, but I'm like, well, what if there's an air pocket underneath the, you know, the flour that I've just scooped out, or, oh, it's heaped up on the hand. It's just, I don't know. I overthink it, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't over, if a cup of flour, yes, Olivia, if a cup of flour weighs 120 grams and you need three cups of flour, that's 360 grams, done.
Yeah.
And you just put the bowl on there and you zero it out and you put the. So I've started doing that. But yeah, I don't think that you are. It's not something I've known in my entire life.
My brownies always turn out fine. So I have no reason to change it now.
And it could be one of those chef things, right? Like maybe Kevin told me or something where it's close enough
to not make that much of a difference
that the average person would never notice the difference.
Yeah.
But if you're a chef or you're somebody who's precise about the recipes, then it's way off. You know, it's sometimes the sound people that I have work on our shows, they say, hey, I went in and I just made a few adjustments because your high end was a little bit close to your mid range, which was causing a tiny bit of bleed over when people use the word, you know, enunciated a word that started with T.
Right.
No, 0% of people who listen to the show would notice that.
Right.
But these people, that's what their brain is wired to do, and they find it.
Moral of the story, I'll never let Kevin Gillespie try my brownies.
This message is for Callie. I just listened to, I think it's today's episode. I could be wrong. I'm a little bit behind on catching up on episodes, but it's the episode of You and Davi that I just listened to. I have been listening since, like, the beginning. So I remember what the upside was when y'all first started it versus what it is now. And Callie, I'm sorry if I make you cry, but I'm so proud of you. Like, I truly am so proud of how much you have grown with this show. I remember, you know, when you first started, you were like, I don't know what I'm doing. And, like, I could tell you were very anxious and nervous of, you know, if you were doing a good job and everything. And, girl, you're freaking owning it right now. Like, I am so freaking proud of you. Look at you go. I can't wait to listen to the next episode. Talk to you later. Bye.
Aw, that's awesome. Did you ever wind up listening to it?
I have not listened to it yet.
I honestly think that part of the reason that episode turned out so great is because Davi is wonderful at what she does. And something that she kind of was doing really well that I'm like, oh, I need to make notes of, like, I need to figure out how to do that. She does transitions seamlessly.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know it, but I had, like, a schedule kind of written out. And she's so perfectly woven. Like I said, I wanted to talk about your nurse. And she, in her introduction, like, of how she knows us, she's like, and that's how I know Jeff, who, you know, whatever. How's he doing, by the way? You know, she's just so good.
To get into the doctor thing, yeah.
But that was really fun. And I think we're going to wind up doing that maybe a couple more times. I don't know if you have people that you want to co-host with that aren't me. But I feel like I like the guest co-hosting. I think it's neat and people like it.
It's funny you bring that up because I am thinking that I would like to do something with my buddy Steve Donovan.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Marissa.
No, Davi actually just sent me a message about doing a show with Marissa.
Uh-huh.
And the three of us all being on an episode. And Davi, by the way, has also been shaking me down to do an episode with her.
Yeah.
And I have just been, life has just been chaos.
Yeah.
So I haven't even, I've said, yeah, I'll do it, but I haven't responded with, I know, Olivia. I haven't responded with a date or a time or anything yet. But I'm kind of hesitating on the Marissa one because it would be pretty easy for it to become a bash fest.
Yeah.
I think. And I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It, like, could also be, well, that's where you have to, like, you know, guide the, Olivia has lots of opinions today.
Well, she's been, Olivia has slept all day. She did a great, she actually almost slept. She slept virtually through the whole night.
Yeah, she went to bed at 9 o'clock and woke up at 5:30.
So in the morning. All night. So she slept. She slept through the night and then, also slept a whole bunch today. And then about 15 minutes before we recorded the show, she said, "I'm up."
She's like, "I'm awake and I am ready to party." What's up, little friend? Do you have something to say? Do you want to talk on the podcast?
Her little breath.
That's what she knows how to say. Do you want to talk? Do you want to be like your sister Ellie and be a podcaster?
So yeah, I just don't want it to be a bash fest.
No, I don't think you take that direction at all. I think you come up with a schedule and then you guys, because Davi and Marissa are so funny and really entertaining. So I think if you come up with the right topics and you guys, like, stick to your thing, then, you know, that would be a great show.
Hi, Kelly and Jeff. This is Jeff's message. It's mainly for Jeff. After my husband and I, we have three kids, and after we had our second child, my husband went through something similar to what Jeff's going through, and I really do think men and fathers go through similar to postpartum depression, but it's just the, you know, and we worked through it, but he explained it as just the overwhelming pressure and the awareness of, now I have another person to take care of and secure their future, and it's just, It is a very difficult time, and I think in this country we need to be more aware of fathers and the toll
or just the experience of adding new life to the home and it being a challenge. So hang in there, Jeff. You are an amazing dad, you're an amazing partner, and you really are amazing to have thought of this show, and it has helped so many people. So hang in there.
I think the reason it happened between one and two is because we could slap everything together after number one, mm-hmm. right? So if we have to pay for childcare and something happens and 1022 just stops making money or starts making much less money, I could go be a Starbucks barista. Mm-hmm. I could go drive DoorDash. I could go deliver people with or deliver with DoorDash or drive for Uber or whatever and make extra money and take care of one more human.
Yeah.
But with two kids, the math just doesn't math.
Right.
You can't DoorDash your way into taking care of a second kid as easily as you can a first. And I think that's why a lot of guys, because I did get a couple of messages also on Instagram from people who said their husbands kind of freaked out between kid one and two a lot more than they did between zero and one.
Yeah.
And the consensus is that's why.
Well, and look, there's a lot of like primal stuff going on, I think. Like women, we talk about it all the time, like your instincts or things that, you know, happen or, you know, the postpartum depression conversation or whatever. And I think what we neglect to talk about a lot is men also have the instinct, I think, generally speaking, and I don't want to speak for all men, but that to protect, provide, you know, it's like hunting and gathering, like... You guys have that instinct, and if it's not coming easy at that moment, it can feel like a lot.
Hey guys, this is Kelly, your mortgage processor. I just want to call after listening to today's episode and tell you that your taxes is going to be the most stressful part of this house buying process. Once you get those done, I'm going to take good care of you, and I will make sure that everything else goes as smooth as butter. So I know it's a stressful thing, and I'm not discounting that at all, but we'll take good care of you. Yeah, you know, just get those taxes done, and we'll go from there. All right. Look forward to working with you. Bye.
So if you missed it, we are a mortgage person that's helping us out with our mortgage is an Upside listener. And that's right. How we found our mortgage broker. And she has been so wonderful in what is a really stressful situation.
And everything is in. Now we're just waiting to hear back. We had to get a little creative with how to do things because it's a small business, because of our small business status. But that's Kelly and Shelby. Her boss.
They know so much about this stuff.
They are both confident and excited for us. So now we just wait.
Yeah. Cross all your fingers and toes. We love this neighborhood so much. We love our neighbors. I will say I do feel a little bit like a black sheep right now because we have construction going on right across from our house. And it's a project in our city that's going to take 2 years. Like it's a long-term thing. And I was walking the other day, as I do, doing my little loop, and someone had made a sign and put it up next to all the trees that were coming down because they do have to take down a lot of trees and they're planting more than they're taking down, but they're taking down some big old trees.
Really beautiful big trees that looked healthy, yeah. You know? And it's just sad because you have to do that for progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't build a road around trees.
Yeah.
You know? So it is sad, but there's somebody very upset and painted a sign that said, "This is awful," and nailed it to one of the tree stumps.
Yeah. And it was so I passed that and I was like, oh, is this how people like, does everybody feel this way? Like this is because I've also seen, you know, on Nextdoor, which I know is not the pinnacle of positivity or anything, but I have seen on Nextdoor people like, oh, this is how our tax dollars are being spent. And what it is they're widening the streets to accommodate traffic, but they're also putting in sidewalks. So from our house, we'll be able to walk to the big park and where they have concerts and, you know, like little festivals and the Saturday farmers market. And I think it's going to be so beautiful, but now I'm like, Am I in the minority of people that are?
No, it's
like, I don't mind sitting in traffic because in 2 years we're going to have something amazing.
Well, one, it'll be less than 2 years. And two, there are just, you could say that they had, that somebody had to go in and cut a tree down because buried below that tree was the cure for children's cancer. Mm-hmm. And somebody would get on next door and say, so you're telling me all the scientists in the world couldn't figure out a way to come up with that treatment without killing a tree?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody would say that.
And that's the second time, though, in our neighborhood that, you know, there's been like fight against this, you know, kind of energy. We had something probably like a month ago. We live near a school. And the school, you know, they're, I forget what the issue is. Oh, they want to add lights on the football field?
It's lights on the football field. They don't have they have a football field and they have a football team, but they can't play games after dark because there's no lights on the field. And some of the neighbors don't want that because they don't want the traffic on Friday nights.
They don't want the traffic on Friday nights. They don't want like the lights coming into like the houses that are close to the school. And they, you know, there have been emails going around about it and signs and, hey, we got to show up to the city council meeting and we need to protest and we need to do all of this stuff. And I said to Jeff, I was like, I know I'm like the weirdo who's not mad about this, but I actually think it's really cute that we're going to have like a Friday night lights situation where everyone's like walking to games. Like, I would love to go to a game on a Friday night and take the girls, even though we don't go there.
I welcome that because that's the way it's supposed to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's...
Wait, the everybody's has an issue and show up to city council is supposed to...
Like if you have a complaint and you don't want lights on, then you go to the city meetings and you go to this and you try to rally your neighbors and that's the way you do it, you know? Uh-huh. And as long as that doesn't... You know, I don't know. Those little small town things, as long as they play out nicely,
right?
It's the way it's supposed to happen, and I'm fine with it. And I'm indifferent.
Oh, you know? For sure. And democracy. But are we the weirdos that are not showing up to these meetings or like being mad about something? And then we're like, but we actually like it.
Most people don't show up to them. I think that 90% of the population never goes to those things.
Yeah.
But if you feel strongly about it, you absolutely should go.
Is there something in our neighborhood that you feel strongly enough that you would go?
I don't think so.
Like, anything that you would feel strongly enough? Maybe something that involved, like, the girls, if you thought it was, like, you know, unsafe for our kids or something, maybe you would go, or you would just tell someone else to go. You would tell our neighbor Mara to go because she would have a voice.
I did have the thought that if this construction really is going to be 2 years in the making, or 2 years, they've got to do something about the traffic right in front of our street. Because if they're going to divert traffic, people pull up and block, you know?
Yeah, block the intersection.
For us to get in, which causes us then to back up all the other traffic. Mm-hmm. So I might send a note to somebody and say, hey, I think we should put a line like "don't block this intersection" sign or something. I don't know if people read those, but I don't know that. Not really.
Don't block the box.
Yeah, I'm not really a guy who does that. So, yeah, no.
We are making all sorts of big family decisions lately, and one of the things that we have been talking about a lot that is so important is a will. Another thing is life insurance. If you have a family like we do, you need to get term life insurance to protect them. It's one of the smartest financial decisions you can make, and the start of the new year is still pretty much here, right? We're still in the first quarter here, and it's the perfect time to get it done so you can focus on whatever else this year has in store for you. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policies in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. The best part, it's all online and all on your schedule. So there's no appointments, scheduling, or piles of paperwork. Just apply when it's convenient for you. You could go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required, and there's no risk to apply. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/upside. That's meetfabric.com/upside, meetfabric.com/upside. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
I was catching up with my buddy Steve Donovan, and he is, I went to college with him at Syracuse, and we worked on the, at the college radio station, Z89, together. Back then, I was AJ Storm.
Oh my God.
And he was Abe Froman. And we were, we did the
morning. Yeah, but you guys thought you were so cool.
And we did the morning show together, and it was called the Crazy Morning Crew. And
was crew spelled K-R-E-W?
No. So the conversation lately with us always talks about the decline of the radio industry and how corporate it became and how it just became not fun. And Steve said something to me that it is just so, it was so morbid and poignant and intelligent and fitting all at the same time. He said that, this is what he said, here's how it came up. I was talking about a bit that I did on the Crazy Morning Crew, however long ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I did this bit on the on this college radio station. It was called Bolivia Trivia. And the answer to every question was Bolivia. So we had something to give away. We had, you know, five pairs of tickets to a concert or whatever to give away. And I said, all right, let's, we're going to take calls. And it's Bolivia Trivia. And the thing was, everybody thought it was a joke. So nobody was answering Bolivia, which made it even funnier.
Yeah.
So I would say the capital of this country has a, you know, is home to the tallest flagpole in, you know, in the world. And the flagpole is 100 feet tall, and the flag that flies on it is 30 feet square or whatever. And people would say, Spain, because they thought, well, of course it's not going to be Bolivia. That's
right? The name of the game is Bolivia Trivia. It would not be so obvious.
And I don't know how often I did it. I did it enough that I remembered it, and I did it enough that it's just funny. Mm-hmm. It's just funny. Well, when I was at Star, I did that bit. I did Bolivia Trivia.
Okay.
Same exact premise and everything. Uh-huh. And I said, and it went the same way. The first few people didn't guess Bolivia because they didn't think I would, why that they,
right.
They thought, whatever. So I got called into a meeting by either the program director or the, I think it was the consultant. And he said, what was your thinking behind that? And I said, there wasn't any. It's a, what are you talking about? And the guy says, well, how does that tie into the audience? How does that do, how do all, you know, all this nonsense that consultants get paid to say.
Yeah.
And I said, it's just dumb. I'm on the radio 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, live, right? And sometimes we are going to pull at people's heartstrings. Sometimes we're going to make them mad. Sometimes we're going to give them information they need. And sometimes we're just going to be silly. And he said, nah, it's got to be, it's got to, I don't see any connection to the audience. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I told that story to Steve, and this is his philosophy that knocked me on my butt. He said, look, everybody, 100% of people who listen to the radio are all going to die. Everybody's going to die. And all they're looking for at the end of the day with a radio show that they participate or a podcast or whatever entertainment they consume, all they're looking for is a friendly voice to make them not worry about the fact that they're someday going to die or that they have bills
due,
or that they have that. That's all it is. And if you can be a friendly voice, you're succeeding at your job. And everybody's overthinking it. And we just started talking about how great it was. Because at this college radio station, there were no layers of
upper management, there red tape, lawyers.
And there was a new, we elected a new board of student, you know, like it was operated like it's club.
Right.
So there was a president, a vice president, a treasurer, a secretary. Yeah. And those were the quote executives of the radio station. But they got elected. I don't remember if it was every school year or every semester, but they were elected. So they turned over constantly.
Yeah.
So there was nobody. And it was just fun. And we just talked about it. And it made me want to create a podcast. And the bandwidth does not exist for this, but I just want to say this out loud. And this is why I'm excited that you're saying things about having guest hosts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because there is, do you know who Bert Kreischer is?
I know the
name. He's a comic. He's okay. A comedian. He has a podcast called Two Bears, One Cave.
Yeah.
With Tom Segura. Uh-huh. The two of them do the podcast together. The clips that they share, I've only listened to their podcast half a dozen times, and it's great. It's fine. It's funny. It's laugh out loud funny. But the clips they share on social media are more often than not Bert laughing hysterically at a story that Tom is telling or recounting a story of his own. And I just miss that.
Yeah.
Not just from a creative place, but I just miss that in this world.
Yeah.
The unrecoverable laughter where it just goes down a slope of silliness and you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
I miss that.
I know. I miss that too.
So
more of that.
Anyways, I just wanted to say that for two things. One, if you listen to this podcast, thank you for letting us be friendly voices for you, right?
And until providing, you die.
Until you die. Providing that little bit of escape, one. And number two, yeah, I'm just ready to make laughter again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's all. There you go.
Here are some random things for this week. Okay. So apparently you should not be buying wine that are in any wine that's in a clear glass bottle. Like I feel like a lot of rosés are in clear bottles and stuff like that. Well, apparently they let sunlight in, which reaches the wine, which can react with the chemicals in the wine. So it doesn't matter how expensive the wine is or whatever, if it's in a clear bottle and there's sun around, your wine's not going to taste the same. So in my head, I'm like, what's the alternative for people who drink white wine to a clear bottle? But, you know, like green bottles or...
They have yellow bottles.
Yeah, yellow bottles. Anything that's not clear would be better.
Half of U.S. states now offer personal finance classes for high school students.
Yeah. Can we just have a minute? Yes.
We joke about this every now and again, and people get mad because, you know, we say things like, why do you learn about the rhombus? You know, or the memes that are going around saying, income tax, no idea. Square dance, did it from fourth to seventh grade, you know? Well, now 50% of the states are providing classes, guaranteeing a personal finance class to high schoolers that will at least give them knowledge of basic financial concepts.
I would go back and take that now.
Yes.
Because I don't even think I have that knowledge now. I'm learning. Not there yet.
There's a guy I follow on Instagram who does, like you can pay $99 and take a webinar or a lot, you know, like a kind of a course.
Yeah.
But it's an interactive thing. And I don't know what the price, I made up the price. It could be $50, could be whatever, but it's interactive. Mm-hmm. Like you're in a classroom with this person and he's giving you tips as a business owner on how to manage the tax law.
Yeah.
Like different things you need to do. And we've been talking about this a lot lately, you know, making sure that we're doing everything that we need to do in order to
make smart choices. Yeah.
Make smart decisions about tax, especially if we end up hiring people this year,
you know,
full-time employees and stuff like that. So anyhow, I'm intimidated to go into this guy's class because I don't think I even have a basic knowledge.
Right.
That I wouldn't want to ask. I feel like I would raise my hand and ask a question, and he would say, oh, that's funny. You're going to act like you don't know that. Anyways, next. You know?
You're like, no, really, I don't.
Really, don't know it. But I would 100% take a basic personal finance, financial knowledge class.
Yeah.
Even as a refresher. I did take home ec and learned how to balance a checkbook. Guess what I don't have to do now? Balance a checkbook.
Right. Yeah. We need some updated stuff out there. Your third random thing for this week is that people zone out just 27 minutes into virtual meetings. There's a new poll out. They surveyed
that long? I thought it would be less.
There's a poll that they surveyed 2,000 employed U.S. adults, and 71% of those who take who are a part of virtual meetings, it only takes 27 minutes before they lose their concentration and their eyes to strain. And this is good for me to know because I've been asking Jeff, you know, could we do our long meetings over Zoom and stuff like that? And you said, no, it needs to be in person. This is backing up your thought there.
National Snack Day was March 4th. And Rice Krispie Treats have overtaken Doritos as America's favorite snack.
That is the most underrated sweet treat, I think. And I always forget about it, but it's so good.
The survey is flawed because they are basing it on searched snacks by date. And if it popped in, I Googled a few days ago, kitchen activities for toddlers.
On a rainy day.
On a rainy day or something like that. And it popped up, bake a basic loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You know, they'd get to play in the dough and all this stuff. So Ellie and I baked a loaf of bread, right? Nobody's Google searching Doritos. Where do you,
That's true.
You don't have to search. Where are Doritos sold? Everywhere.
That's true.
Where aren't they sold? No. Seriously, name a place where Doritos aren't sold. You can't.
Right. Gas stations. Every grocery store,
every gas station. You could probably
drugstore,
vending machine. You could go to a funeral home, and if there's a vending machine, you can buy Doritos.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to Google Doritos for anything. But if I was thinking of something to do with Ellie on a rainy day,
make Rice Krispie Treats.
I would Google Rice Krispie Treats because I don't remember the recipe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's flawed. Other treats that came up in the. In the list, Cheetos, which was number one actually in the Southwest. Other favorite snacks, Cheerios, Fritos, and Chex Mix.
Cheerios is number one in our house. And those are your random things for the week.